after three, that still small voice. In 1942, at the height of the Second World War, a German reserve police battalion from Hamburg was given the mission of rounding up and massacring over 38,000 Jews in a village in Poland. The average age of these Germans was 39. They were middle class, and most had no particular hatred of Jews. About a dozen out of the 500 refused to take part. Some more refused to carry on once the shooting had started, but the majority got on with it. Later on, some actually developed a taste for the job and actively volunteered to take part in other death squads. They had acquired a taste for killing, and it didn't concern them. One of them said this: "It was possible for me to shoot just the children. It so happened that the mothers led the children by the hand. My neighbour shot the mother and I shot the child, because I reasoned that the child couldn't live without its mother. This soothed my conscience." They were just following orders. As one man later admitted, it was not until years later that he began to consider that what he had done had not been right. He had not given it a thought at the time. Now, dear listener, you are not living in a restrictive military regime where populations live their lives gripped by cold fear, anxious to keep their heads down so as not to make waves and invite deadly repercussions. For that reason, it is difficult for us to put ourselves in their shoes. Yet we must ask, would we have behaved in the same way as those ordinary Germans? Everything within my being wants to say no. These were evil people from an evil race who had chosen to live under such an evil regime. But the fact remains that they were ordinary people, living in such extreme circumstances that the simple matter of what is a right action and what is a wrong one had been muddled. Once free of this evil regime, these men were going to have to live with the facts and consequences of those actions for the rest of their lives. So how do we make decisions? It may seem an obvious question to ask, but why did these Germans live the rest of their lives in guilt, knowing that they had perpetrated such evil in the war years? Who or what told them at the time that they were doing right in killing those innocent Jews? Who or what told them later that they had done wrong in killing those innocent Jews? And events could have been that they were following orders mainly at the foot of one man. That's a cop-out. Some refused to join the killing squads without regard to the consequences.
As the Nazi propaganda minister, his job was to justify Hitler's hatred of Jews out of a sense of duty.
Yet years later, they would be appalled at how they could have done so and did not deserve to inhabit the same planet as them. As he had 100% control of the official media, he had 100% control on what information was filtering through to the German people, whether through radio, cinema, newspapers, cartoons, books, church sermons, or drama. As Jewish books were burnt and prominent Jews, and their supporters, taken away from the public arena, the German people, in an age before the internet, had no other input, and so were in a position to believe whatever hogwash Goebbels wanted them to believe. Here's a summary of three main points he hammered home unceasingly. Number one, the Jews hate us. They provoked and brought about the war. What they mean to achieve by it is to destroy the German state and the nation. This plan must be frustrated, and whatever treatment we give them is well deserved. Number two, there is no difference between Jews. Every Jew is a sworn enemy of the German people and must be stopped at every cost. Number three, every German soldier's death in this war is a Jew's responsibility. The ultimate aim of Goebbels and Hitler was to create such a negative picture of the Jew in the German psyche that every negative action against them could be justified, even the merciless killing of large numbers of Jews by death squads made up of ordinary Germans. What Goebbels managed to do was to write a set of rules for the German people that would overwrite any others that pre-war they had lived by. He had in fact replaced their conscience, and was most proud of this. "Conscience is nothing more than a crutch for cowards," he proclaimed. This is in stark contrast to an earlier quote by Abraham Lincoln, who said, "To sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards of men." So, what is this conscience? A crutch for cowards or a condemner of cowards? Two views in opposition, and making an object out of the subject of our argument, we would say that one view was made by a man utterly without conscience, and the other made by a man governed by it. No wonder they said what they did. It would be useful at this point to ponder over what other people have had to say about the conscience. Martin Luther King Jr., said, "An individual who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust, and who willingly accepts the penalty of imprisonment in order to arouse the conscience of the community over its injustice, is in reality expressing the highest respect for the law." Albert Einstein said, "Never do anything against conscience, even if the state demands it." Mahatma Gandhi said, "In matters of conscience, the law of majority has no place." It is interesting to see that all three are saying the same thing, and all three, in their particular spheres of influence, acted out their beliefs. Einstein was severely troubled by his conscience when, in later life, he saw the devastating consequences of his discoveries in atomic science. The conscience of both Gandhi and King led to a lifetime promoting non-violent protests, and both were assassinated for their beliefs. All of the above three were free thinkers who, although they came from three different religious and cultural traditions, were adamant that when it comes to judging between what has become acceptable in society and what their conscience was telling them, conscience was to win every time. So what is this conscience, and how can it wield so much influence in our lives? The following is a quote from Christopher Reeve, the actor who played Superman. "I think we all have a little voice inside us that will guide us. It may be God, I don't know. But I think that if we shut out all the noise and clutter from our lives and listen to that voice, it will tell us the right thing to do." Ah, a little voice inside us. What little voice? Has it always been there? Were we just made that way? We need to think about this, because don't they put away people who claim to hear voices? This little voice is the voice of your conscience, and is considered the part of your mind which tells you whether what you are doing is right or wrong. We know all about it when we've done something wrong, e.g. stealing a friend's toy if you're a child, or stealing a friend's wife if you're an adult. Because assuming we are functioning correctly, we have a guilty conscience about the situation. It seems that the conscience's main job is to convict us of this guilt when we've transgressed, rather than commending us when we've been particularly good. That's when pride takes over and we start telling ourselves how wonderful we are. As we found out, sometimes conscience can be confused or overruled. A member of a cult, or one of our ordinary Germans, would have been given a whole new set of values. They could be told such nonsense that killing is good and compassion is a waste of time. Their consciences would thus be reprogrammed, and a sense of right and wrong would be utterly distorted. We can then say that their consciences are seared, as they consider themselves to have a clear conscience to indulge in whatever acts they have been programmed to do, until, at some future time, they look back to reflect on their deeds. So a conscience can be reprogrammed, but who programmed it in the first place? How does your conscience know what is right or wrong? Are our consciences taught to us? I believe that our conscience is as natural to us as is our breathing. We are not taught to breathe, as otherwise we'd all be dead before we reached the maternity hospital scales. In the same way, the organs of our body automatically go about their business from birth until they finally pack up a lifetime later. Even though we may teach our children to do good, and we live according to the laws of the land, the basic instinct is there already, with our conscience acting as our internal alarm to keep us on the right track. As to where the conscience comes from, there are many theories, and it all boils down to your particular worldview. Conscience has been variously explained by philosophers. On one hand, it could be a product of the senses, a kind of intuition, a product of one's feelings of what is right or wrong. Others have said that it's a product of the mind, a conscious examination of what reason tells us is right or wrong. Still others fall back on past experiences, suggesting that these can give direction to the choices made by an individual. Yet others, prompted by the ideas of Sigmund Freud, speak of the superego working in the background in the unconscious mind. Other psychologists have either identified conscience with an expression of values or guilt feelings, or as reactions to stimuli external events. All of the above suggestions are introspective, speaking of the conscience as something that is developed by the individual, explained as a set of biological impulses in the brain and animal instincts. The other alternative puts us fairly and squarely within our benign conspiracy, in a universe governed by others or another. In this scenario, our conscience provides us with a connection to this conspiracy, a conduit between the natural world and the supernatural world. It's an invisible umbilical cord between us and something greater than ourselves.
My contention is that our conscience is an identical filter built into all of us by an intelligent designer to provide us with an absolute indicator of what is right and wrong. It's not a case of what's right for you, or I can see both sides in this case. Instead, you can see it as a green and red LEDs deep inside you, lighting up either as yes or no for those important moral situations where a decision is needed. In all conscience, the choice is totally yours, what you believe in. You have your own conscience, whether you may believe about it, whatever you may believe about its origins. Tune into your little voice and listen to what it's telling you. To be continued.